Okay, so winding down Perek Chof Zayin, still discussing all the different types of merchandise, different assets of the nation of Tsar. We are up to Pasuk Chof Hei. Okay, the Pasuk Chof. What?
They got Tsar and they were going on and on about Tsar.
I
mean, why were they so different than
everybody? Yes, so that we try to touch upon it. I don't know the answer. Tsar takes up in all of the Nevi'im a major focus. Like you said, Cheskel and Yirmiyah had Yirmiyah and Yeshaya and Trey Asar. So the only thing we mentioned over here in the first in the beginning of the parak was because Tsar. Was the people from Tsar or the nation of Tsar? They built the Beis HaMikdash, so they had more of a sensitivity. They should have had more of a sensitivity to the kedusha of Yerushalayim of the Beis HaMikdash and Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael was the spiritual center of the world, and Tsar had a direct hand in establishing.
It sounds like they were just contractors. I mean, they didn't seem to have any.
Right, that's what it seems. That's what it seems to us today. Because like today, you go and you just see construction crew, big deal. You know, a yeshiva builds a yeshiva. Who cares who builds the building? Get the Mexicans and just get in some the cheap labor from China. But it's not the way it was. Obviously, when you build the Beis HaMikdash, every stone you lay, there's kavana. You know, there is kedusha. And if the people of Tsar participated, obviously they were spiritual people. And you have to understand, like I told you this so many times, about my father's shul, that Youngsville Avenue J, so about, I don't know, 20 years ago, they built a new building, completely destroyed, they knocked down the old shul, and even the foundation, and they started fresh. Okay, so there's Dr. Reich over here on East 19th Street, so he built the whole shul in 4 months. He always talks about that he built it in super fast, and he would have built it even faster if not for the fact that the shul gave him trouble. They didn't approve this and approve that, but he built the whole thing in 4 months. They built a foundation, and it wasn't done with the most expensive building materials. It actually there was someone there who davened initially who was going for architecture. He was a student. He's now an architect. So he told me he explained to me the flaws of that the shul is built, and it's very simple. It's a very simple construction. It's like the bottom end of what you can possibly do in all the different types of construction today. And very fine, it went up. I didn't pay much attention. You know, I was in school, I was in college, and I just passed by. And then somehow at the very end, I had to go there to get something, go to the shul, and I passed by, and there was a guy standing outside. I don't know how this happened. I started making conversation with him. And he says to me, you know, I put up every single steel beam in this. What is it called? It's not really steel. What?
Girders?
It's not steel, like aluminum. It's a reinforced aluminum. I put up every single piece of aluminum, every single beam in this entire building. And he said, you know, I'm proud because you would never guess, but I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish. I'm not religious, of course, but I'm Jewish. And I'm very proud that I am the one who actually built this synagogue.
The metal studs
from the whole building, from the three-story. It's a four-story building, a basement, it's a three-story building, basement, and three stories. So like, it made an impression on me, like, wow, look at the Hashkocha Pratis. Because I remember very clearly Chaim, when I was in Chaim Berlin, they were building the main base medrash. So we used to go during lunch. It was fascinating, you know, a little kid to go watch construction. I love construction. And, you know, it was just fascinating. So I would go there and they were putting up the steel beams. And the guys who put up the beams, they were like the lowest of the low. I remember even these guys, they parked their cars there. And they had in their car on display things that a yeshiva should never see. Okay, like right outside the building there. I'm talking over these guys, the lowest of the low. And they would talk to the yeshiva guys, and they would go and heroics, go hang on, like I was doing over here next door, to put up the steel building. Okay, this is the industry. Who are you going to get to go put up a building for you? You have to hire an industry. And this guy over here, he tells me, I'm Jewish, I put up every single beam, and I'm proud. It made an impression, that's talking the way it should be. You put up a place of tefillah, a place of Torah. It should be built by Jewish people, Jewish hands, with the right perspective. That also says something about gives the makom sanctity. And you have to say al achas kam v'kam ben b'nesh l'kal v'choymer when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is makom l'mokom hashuas hashchir, and this is the Bayis Rishon, this is Shlomo HaMelech, and we're dealing over here in the Asar Nisim Naslav Asenu. It had to be done with Kedusha. And who did it? The people of Tsar. That's what it says. It says that Shlomo, he went and he contracted with Tsar, they brought in the craftsmen, they brought in the building materials, and they built the Beis HaMikdash. Or are you going to say these people were not spiritual people? They had no spirit. Okay, they're not Jews, but they're not spiritual people. Appreciating over here, ki beis, beis tefila l'chol ha'amim. So then the question is, how dear, 410 years later, do they relish in the Churban of Yerushalayim? Their great-great-grandfathers are the ones who built this makom, the makom of the Hashuas HaShchina. And now Yerushalayim wasn't just the makom of Hashuas HaShchina, it became the center of the world, of commerce and business and beauty, Klila Sayofi. And now the great-great-grandchildren are relishing in the fact that the Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, so all of the wealth will now be directed to Tsar. Hashem is furious. You talk about a nation, Kush, and you talk about all these nations all over the world. Listen, whatever. So they rejoice, they're whatever. Whatever they do, they do. But you should know better. Your great-great-grandfather built this makom. He was responsible for bringing the Shechina to the world. How dare you celebrate and say the words, Imola Hecharava, I will now be filled with its destruction. Through its destruction, I'll become rich. This is a very big taina. And that's why Yecheskel, he expresses Hashem's frustration in all these eloquent words. He builds them up by describing the incredible beauty, the incredible, all the assets, the commerce that took place in this city. You build it up to bring it down, to destroy. Look, now you're nothing of nothing. You've been wiped off the face of the earth. You've been, the tsunami came and turned you into dry rock land. This is what it says. Not my idea. This is what it says over here. One of the first over here, in the beginning of this prayer, it brings out these words, this idea in a couple of words. And that's really what you have to say to understand why we give Tsar so much attention. They are more guilty. The tzvi upon them is that much greater. Let's see. Pasuk Chafei. Pasuk Chafei says, Onios Tarshish Shor Rosa. This is a hard word. It's a hard pasuk as well. Yesterday we also had a very hard pasuk. We concluded it was also difficult. The ships of Tarshish Shorosach. There are many translations for this word. Let's learn right now. It means a shayara. Shayara is a caravan. Now, caravans normally go on dry land, like the old picture, Little House on the Prairie. Anyone ever watch that show? Little House on the Prairie. You have over here these little wagons with these covers, and you have people traveling together on the road. That's a shayara. There's no such thing as a shayara in the sea. In the sea, you have ships. Okay, so that's the chiddush of one of the possible translations of the word is that you have a fleet of ships is also called a shayar. Just like you have a caravan, you're going in the desert, you're traveling on the road, you have multiple ships, multiple wagons following on the road to reach your destination. Likewise, when you're traveling by sea, a fleet. You have the main ship, then you have all the ships that support the main ship and other ships. They're traveling together. That's also called a shayara. Look, in the sky, I tell you, we live in the modern world, so when the military goes out to do battle, so you have a whole collection of fighter jets that go together. The wingmen.
No, a wing.
A wing is a unit.
Fighter jets.
Okay, it's a unit.
That's
a ship, so an armada. So I guess the word shorosayich over here, it means a caravan. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is Shorosach means it was a plain, like a meshar. A meshar is a low land, a flat land, and typically the lands that are low and flat are the lands that were used as roads, highways to travel from place to place. So here as well in the water, when you have a path, you have a route in the water, we're also going to borrow the word Meshar, which means a plain. We're going to use it for a path in the water also, and we're going to somehow that is converted into the word Shorosayich. A third interpretation is it means Lashon of a sar, a prince. And that means here is that the ships of Tarshish, they were like princes for you. That it's nobility. Every single day when you go outdoors and you look at the port and you see there are ships coming in to dock in the land. Wow, you really feel you feel important. You feel like we are a nation of greatness. Look, you go to the airport, you go to JFK Airport, you know, you can't like, you know, wow, look at what's going on over here. Planes are coming and going nonstop. People are moving, there's so much activity. Wow, this must be a Khoshev. This city, this country must be something special. If everyone is coming and going and moving and traveling in all directions, it creates a sense that these are my princes. It creates a sense of royalty to the nation. So we're giving only three different translations for the word Shorosach. We'll see more in the first one, some with you inside. Ma'aroveich. Ma'aroveich simply means that they are. It goes together with the word Shorosach. They are the Meshar, the caravan, or the princes that pass through your land. Okay, we'll see again when we do the Farshim. Fatimali. And you now over here we're really winding down. Starting with Pasuk Kafei, the Pasuk, the discussion of Tsar is winding down, and it's telling us that now that we've mentioned all the different types of assets that have been imported to the country, we conclude that you've been filled to capacity. Vatich bidi, and you're heavy, me'od belev yamim. As this goes back to the theme, the metaphor that we mentioned in the beginning of the parak, that we're comparing Tsar to a ship. Okay, it's an island, obviously, it's on dry land, it's on an island, but being that it's an island that is in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the Mediterranean, so it looks, we compare it to a ship that's also surrounded on all sides by water, and here the Pasuk is telling us is that you're overweight. Okay, this is one of the most dangerous things for any type of mobile. If it's overweight, that's one of the things they have to in their checklist. Ever see these documentaries about on plane crashes? I used to be fascinated with that. I haven't seen it in a long time on plane crashes. I used to watch on YouTube. Crash investigations. Why, Rahman al-Utslan, planes go down. They take a famous Maisa where a plane crashed or almost crashed, and they super analyze. They show the entire investigation of what exactly went wrong. It's horrifying, and it's fascinating to see what goes on. But the, one of the main things I remember from my those good old days is there's always a checklist, and one of the most critical things before taking off is to make sure the plane is not overweighted. It's very, very critical, because if the plane is too heavy, it's not going to make it. It's not going to take off. It needs a much more space on the runway to take off. It needs a very large space to land so it can slow down properly. And if there's bad weather, the sakana of traveling with a plane that's heavy is exacerbated. It's a very, very big sakana. It's not for nothing that you go on El Al and they're very machmir about the luggage. Okay, besides the fact, you know, even though there are four engines and you know, it's all about money, but it's not only about money. It's sakana. The heavier the plane is, the greater the sakana is. That's nothing new. That certainly applies to ships. And this was a very, very big deal when dealing with ships. If a ship is too heavy, then when there's a storm at sea, the sakana is that much greater. It's not for nothing that in the Sefer Yonah, when there was a storm at sea, the first thing to do is to throw all the luggage overboard. And when that didn't work, it's time to throw some of the people overboard as well. Right? So this is nothing new. This is from time immemorial. And I'm assuming when it comes to even though I have a car, right? A car gets overheated very easily, especially when you go uphill. Say the cars today, Baruch Hashem, are very good. But when you go uphill, you put it to drive. There's not for nothing. They have on the dashboard the heat, the temperature of the engine. It's because the more and that is directly related to the weight in the vehicle. So here we have exactly the same thing. Vatich bidi meod. You are way, way overweight. Okay, that's the key word over here.
But
yeah.
The great, you know, the good old days.
So the Mefarshim are going to explain this because you don't see your own defect. I hear I'm on the dry land, and I look out and I see the ship, and I can see from my perspective you are in trouble. I can see that you're sunk in the water way too much, and you are in great danger. But you ain't Adam Roye Nigei Atzmo. Person does not see his own defects, and the people running the ship, they don't realize that they're going to sink. It's because they're so carried away with their self, they have such a great sense of security and such a belief in their koichi v'yotzim yadi, nothing can possibly, look at the Titanic, right? Look at the Titanic. They didn't prepare, they didn't even put on the Titanic enough lifeboats for all the people. Why? Because what could possibly go wrong? But to the observer, hey, you know, I think you should think twice before going on. That's the key words here in Vatich Bidi Me'od Belev Yamim. You were the Titanic. You were a disaster waiting to happen. Let's see the Mefarshim Pasuk Chaf Hey. See all the secrets to the whole world are all in ancient Pesukim. Pasuk Chaf Hey in the Mitzudos David writes, Anios Tarshish, Hasfinos Tahochim Aliyam Tarshish, we had it before, the Yam of Tarshish. On this sea, how you here is the key is the parish of the Mitzudos. Again, a lot of controversy now. A lot of controversy in the translation of the word Shorosayich. How you Hashayorois Sheloch was equivalent to a caravan. Even though a caravan normally refers to wagons, he was borrowing in reference to ships. Lohavi Sichoyroseich, Ritzon Loimar, Rabbis Sinois Boloch im Sichor by Keshayora. Many ships accompanied you on your journey through the Yam of Tarshish to reach the destination of Tsar to deposit the merchandise, Shalanoshim. If you look at the Mitzudos Tzion, he says, Shorosayich, Miloshon Shayara, Vehem Harbe Anoshim, Holchim Orech Biyachad, like people travel on the road together, Vizeloshon Yadu B'Dibri Hazal, everyone knows what the word is, so therefore don't be confused here. Vatimali, Chazalarech Hadavarm Shim Shilu Sfinit Hashuva. So here, Mitzud says that over here, this Pasuk of Hey is taking us back to the beginning of the Perek. For the last, who knows, 20 Psukim, we've been focusing on all the nations, which every nation contributed to Tsar. Now we're going back to the beginning of the Perek, where we compare the nation of Tsar to a ship at sea that's going to sink. When you were Belev Yam, when you were traveling in the desert. Now let's see Rashi. Pasuk Afenius Tarshish Sharosayich Hayu Heim Hayu Loch La'arava Umishar. So notice Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudos. The word Sharosayich means a plain, a mishar, low land, easy to travel. You can travel, you can't go travel, you can't go drive in the mountains, you can't go drive through the forest, but you can drive on an empty field. Just like a mishar is an area which is paved or it's prepared to travel, Hayoshevis Vayabasha, so Hoyuloch Tahtav, Anios Tarshish, Misilo Lohavi Ma'aravich Lesechech. So you're on the island. If you're on the island, there's no road. Don't worry, you don't need a road. We have ships. The ships, the continuous shuttling of ships back and forth to all the different nations, that served as the equivalent of a mishar, basically a highway to transport the merchandise. So he and then the Rashi, just in case he didn't get what he's trying to tell you, he makes it very clear in the next words of Rashi. Sharoi Saich, what does it mean Sharoi Saich? Lashon Sharon Umishar, a plane. Vidugmaso Alu Bisharoseha in Yirmiyah, ascend its plains. Next words, Vati Mali, Vatihbidi Ma'od Ma'od, Havio Lusoichich Masoi Ra Vichbidu Masoich Yosemidai. You are overweight. Okay? I remember now it comes back to memory. Is that one of those disasters, one of those air crash disasters that I remember is where they showed that they made a mistake in the calculation of the weight on the plane. It was just a plain, simple miscalculation in how much was on the plane, and the engines could not carry that load. So here it says that you were too heavy, and indeed that's why disaster, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Let's see the Radak Pasuk Chaf says, Anios Tarshish Sharosayich Shayaros. Okay, so he learns like the Mitzudos, not like Rashi the Radak. Holchois bis choyroseich klema rabos biyachad, many people think of kamo like a shayara. Vatimoli, vatichbidi kamo, vatibi vechein am kaveid, belev yamim, kilu hoyis beemsa hayamim, ki honios boos, Eliach Mikol Hayamim, you're a ship. He's going back to the Perek, you're like a ship, and all the ships are coming to you from all different. You're an island in the middle of the ocean, and all the ships are coming to you. You're built in the middle. you're in the middle of the sea, like in an island, Kamoshi Prashna Lamaya, so Belev Yam means either that all the ships are coming to you, you're like the central, your heart, all the arteries are flowing to you, or you are an island, you're an island in the middle of the sea. The reason why it's called Yam is because one Yam flows into another Yam. Very simple. The gathering of water is called Yamim. Where you are located is in the crossroads of all of the paths, the sea paths in the world. Now, let's see. Now, before we go further, let me just point out to you what it says here in the Malbim and what it says in the Mahari Korah. The Mahari Korah, if you have it in front of you, I think you have it in your edition. So, Pasukhaf, if you look in the middle, he has very strong words he uses. Very powerful words. He says, Sharo Seich, it's in the middle of the Dibra Maslon Pasukhaf, Kamo Alu Bish Sharo Seha. It means plains. It means like what the Mitsudo says. V'karim sharos sayich. Anyone that translates this to mean a sar, a prince, an officer, a leader, is making a big mistake. Tohu subiyadam. Now he goes on to explain. Anios hayosan sharos zol zol. The ships, being that they are sharos zol zol. Now what does that mean? What's the possible interpretation? Heyoson soros, the sin, zol zol, im yale belev ish lios no deit upotse pe, the kore sorosayich. So the reason why he wants to say they're called sorosayich is because they're competing with one another. They're like sorim. Each ship has its own flag. Each ship represents this pride in where they come from. So we call ships sorosayich because each ship is soros zolazo. Each one serves one another.
Competes with one another.
Okay, I'm not really sure, but let's show you, point you out the very harsh words he uses. The Marigar found
like
to be very
sorisa.
Ki sorisa, you have prevailed. Like sorisa, that's a different type. Yeah, you're competing. They're competitors. You're competitors. So the Anios Tarshish Sorosayich. They were your, doesn't even mean competitors, it means they were the ships that passed. The ships that passed, they were like your leaders, your officers. But okay, let's just see further. Upoitse
pe. Remarkable.
Maybe there must be some more depthness, but I just want to point out the expressions he uses. Upoitse pe, anyone that opens up their mouth, the koire sorosayich, and wants to say this, it means sorosayich to mean this interpretation. In other words, he's saying that instead of saying with a shin, I think what he means over here to say is our tradition is to read the word sorosayich with a shin, which means a plane, a mishor. The Shorish Mishar has a shin, not a sin. Those who want to tell you that the correct Misora is with a sin, which then means a sar, and has all of this interpretation that you're providing here, right? It means competitors, free market, whatever this all means, is making a big mistake. Because, look at the Targum, because Vikaryo Soro Sar with a sin, Yistakel Bitargum, Hametargem Bisfine Yamo, in the ships of the sea, havo shaitin umayson sichorol legavich. It means kloimar b'mokom sheyabasha maspia hasharoin mitvuaso. Just like on dry land, the sharon means a plain, provides tvua. Afkan onios tarshish shorosach was the plain where it produced like a farm. Okay, a whole new interpretation. Not a path. Smooth area.
Highway.
No, he's not saying that. That's the point I want to make. He's not saying that. He's saying over here when we say it means a plain, but the purpose is to produce, is produce. A plain is farmland, and the farmland produces grain.
Product.
Not like what it said in the Mitsudos, that a sharon is a highway. A flat land makes it easy to travel.
So over here, Avkan Onios Tarshish Shorosach is Biu Oisach. They satisfied you. Shehivu called Surachayach Besechech Viim Kedivrei Akarim Shorosayich. Hayulo LeTargim. The Targum says Rav Rivanu Sayich, which means your teachers, it means your leaders. So therefore, he wants to point out that the Targum says otherwise. Now that's not such a big deal because we learning over here Yecheskel a long time and all the Svarim. Targum never held back Rashi. He never held back the Radak. It never held back the Mitzudos from saying otherwise. Shocking that the Ma'ari Kara is very loyal to the Targum. And if the Targum says the means, a plane, don't dare go and provide another interpretation. Okay, but in the past we did indeed come out that there is a new interpretation. If you look at the Malbum, you can the Malbum. Look at the Malbum. Meinyan Sherus is exactly what he says. Okay, the target. The Malbum says Shorosayich Meinyan Sherus, ministry, Sherus, which is not the same thing. It's not a sar because a sar would have to have a sin, and there is no sin. There's a shin, so a shin means Sherus. V'sheres in Echav, the Levim are called Mesharsim. What?
Service.
So me'inyan sheirus. So these ships, they provided service. The yesh mefarshim me'inyan shayar shalchem sheres bayam. If you have another, I have another parish. I don't think you have this in my edition, Rabbi Eliezer mi bal Gansi. Right? You told me he's a very famous commentator.
Bojansi.
What I said again?
Bojansi.
Where was he from? Spain.
That's French.
French. Oh, sorry, my ignorance. This is just so great. Okay, but in any event. He writes over here, he says here, Bonos Tsoadu Ale Shur. Okay? Rabbi Avram Shur, right? All the girls went. So it says there, it says Shur is a wall. Adalek Shur. What does that mean over here? What? Bonos
Tsoadu
Ale Shur. Right, Shur. So he says over here, Shorosayich means a wall. And what does it mean in this context? It means l'fiyu inyan he binyan. I don't know if you have this in your edition. Binyan namuch eitzel binyan gavoa la alois mimenu al hagavoa v'leired ulitzur hagavoa v'shi. It basically means like a stepping stone, or some type of wall, a wall which was a stepping stone. So over here it says that these ships of Tarshish shorosayich ma'avorech, they passed through you to serve as a means to build you up. In other words, to ascend in order, just like this shore is a wall which you will climb in order to go to the next level. So too, all of these ships, all of the things we mentioned in the past psukim, they were all used as a means to elevate, to build up higher the nation of Tsar.
So shore means shore. Shore up. Shore up. Sure.
Okay.
Sure?
Someone once said to her, sure. One of the boys there once said to her, sure, whatever you say is a sure thing. Alright, there's another word okay, over here, then he has another interpretation over here. Afkanon, then he goes on to say, at the end, that's it. Okay, so the bottom line over here is, if you've not been confused enough, we had over here for the word shorosayich, maybe 5-6 interpretations. A shayara, a caravan. A plane, a mishar. If it means a mishar, it means either it's a highway, or it means that it is a source of produce, or it means a sar, it means a leader, it means a prince, or it means sheirus, it means ministry, or it means a wall. Banos tsoada ale shur. Okay, so you have over here. You're picking to what this complex term here means in Sefer Yecheskel. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chavav says, "B'mayim rabim hevi'uch in the amongst the great waters, the mayim. We have the yamim, and now we have the mayim rabim. All different types of bodies of waters. Hevi'uch, they brought you. Hashatim oisach. In other words, you're a ship. We're comparing you over here. The metaphor here is we're comparing Tsar to a ship. The ship is overweight." And it's traveling now on the Mayim Rabim. It's gone out on an adventure into no man's land. And who brought you to this adventure? The navigators. Okay, the first Haredi navigator for El Al. I read that article. You saw the video of talking to a not a pilot, She's a navigator. I don't think they would let her, they would let someone who did not serve in the IDF. No, she's not a pilot. Read carefully. I know it says in the headlines, but she's not a pilot. But she's a navigator. I don't think they would allow someone. You have to fly the F-16s, F-35s, in order to be entitled to be eligible to fly an El Al plane, to fly a 747. They don't let you, exactly. They don't let you. They wouldn't even allow women. They wouldn't even let women. But to be a navigator sits in the back of the cockpit. And tells you what the weather is.
That's an entry.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you go from a navigator to a pilot. You go from a co-pilot to a pilot. Navigator does not go up the hierarchy. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. In any event, b'mayim rabim heviyuch, they brought you hashotim osach, your oarsmen. Okay, your oarsmen, your pilots, your captains, your navigators, whatever you want to call them. They're the one who turned the oars. But you're in trouble. You're going to go into unknown waters and dangerous waters where the east wind is going to destroy you. Belev yamin. Pasuk avav in the mitzvot started. Pasuk avav b'mayim rabim heviuch mischalefes heviuch chaser yud. Okay, I'm reading the wrong thing. I'm sorry. When I'm reading over here, Mr. Stav Hashatim Osach, Manhiga Asfina, Hamashitim Osach, Alpina Mayim, Himivu Osach, Bimkoim Mayim Rabim, Bimkoim Sakana. Okay, so your oarsmen, they brought you in a place of Sakana. Veruach HaKodim Ho'aza, the Sheberuchos, the strong, the swing, Shovar Osach, Belev Yamim, has shattered you, Umachmas Marbis Hamayim, due to the abundance of water. It's the perfect storm, the abundance of water, and the fact that you're overweight. The covered masa hoyekasha lehatzila, they could not save you. The eastern wind is the famous Chazal Vayir by Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was done with which wind? Which wind was the wind which broke Kriyas Yamsuf? The eastern wind. Vayoyle Hashem esayam beruach kodim aza kol halayla. So it was the eastern wind that split the yam. Here it's the eastern wind that is going to bring destruction to the nation of Tsar. Rashi pasuk chava b'mayim rabim heviuch hashotim osach kiderech ha'anios hagedolos shemafligim osach l'sech pelagus hayom. What is that word pelagus? That's a unique word. You have a good translation for the word pelagus? I'm a chol. Pelagus. That's a good word. It's a new word. Pelagus hayom. It means this. It means obviously the exotic parts of the sea. Pal means a haflaga. Haflaga to. Okay, but it's taking you out to the far, far ends of the sea.
Far, distant, telephone or something like that.
Ki biyamav nispalgu haaretz, dispersed. In the days of ki, in the day of the Migdal Bavel, ki biyamav nispalgu miflaga. It means dispersion. It means far, far, to go to the far ends of the earth. Due to the fact that it was very, very heavy, now here is the key. These are very important parts. Rashi over here is telling us the metaphor. It's not a ship. It's a city. It's a city. And the meaning of here is because it was extremely wealthy. They had too much confidence in their economy. That's why you suffered. Vayishman yishudun vayivot, and that's exactly what happened to Tsar. We find over here this parallel. We find over here like a spiritual parallel. They should have known better. They should have known better that they put their confidence in their wealth, not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see what it says in the Radak. Radak Pasuk Havav. B'mayim rabim heviuch hashotim oisach. Hashotim b'loy aleph. There's no aleph in the word hashotim. B'inyan biza v'shalo. So here we have a new translation. Not like Rashi and the Mitzvot that says the word shotim means oarsmen. It means a spoiling, despoiling, loot, booty. B'mayim rabim heviuch hashotim osach. The people who plundered, the people who conquered you, and have have stolen all of your assets. Shot means bizoyon, who have despised you. The inyan bizar also means bizar means spoils. The shalol b'loshen echad. So it means over here spoils, and then b'loshen bizar also means people who make mevazi. People who mevazi, they take all of your money. Hashad. So therefore, the whole new translation that in the great waters, the people who hate you, your enemies who despise you and who want to steal of your assets, they have caused you to sink. Uvemayim rabim hu moshel latzaros. The mayim refers to the difficulties of life. Kiilu amar b'tzaros rabos seviyuch v'yiris antirgim b'mayon sagiin alu aloch devazu yosach. As Zakhlu Targum says, the word hashotim, he translates to mean those that despised you. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk of Zayin. Hoinech v'izvonayich ma'aroveich. Hoinech means your wealth. V'izvonayich. So let's learn out like the Malbim. Remember the Malbim told us the word izvonayich means all of the assets that are in the warehouses. Ma'aroveich. This means all of the money that's on the market. The money the money that's in circulation. Okay. The izvonayich means the savings accounts. Ma'aravech means the money that's been paid now as a guarantee for the merchandise. It means money in circulation. Malochayich. Now we compare that. Now we go to the malochayich means the sailors. Those, the people who, the malochayich means the ones who actually turn the oars. We mentioned before they're called malochayich because maloch means to mix. Mimuloch tohar kodesh. The guitarist is required. One of the requirements is that it should be mimuloch. And mumulach simply means it should be mixed well. When you stir, when you turn the oars of a ship, to an observer, it looks like you're mixing the water. So here it means malachayich v'chayvloyich. That means the people who pull the ropes, the people who pull the sails, machzike bitkeich, the people, the repairmen, the mechanics, the people who inspect the boat for cracks, and they repair all the cracks, the orvei ma'aroveich, the guarantors of the ma'aroveich, of all of your assets. The word ma'aroveich means your assets here as well. V'chol anshei milchamtech, all of your mercenaries, asher bach, v'chol kolech, your assembly, asher b'sechech, yiplu, they will collapse, b'lev yamin b'yom ma'paltech, on the day when you collapse. It's a long pasuk describing many different, every single industry and every single aspect, dimension of the country will collapse. The politicians are going to collapse. The businessmen are going to collapse. The banks are going to collapse. The economy is going to collapse. A government is made up of many different parts. And sometimes when one section of the government collapses, so the other part of the country can fill in the gap. Okay, they can fill in. Here, there's going to be a complete shutdown, and all of these terms over here, obviously, they're symbolic. They represent every different aspect that is part of a nation, whether it's the government, whether it's the economy, or whether it's the whatever it is, the political system. All of these things are going to collapse. Let's see, Pasuk Chavzayin in the Mitzvot Stavit. Pasuk says, Hoinech is your wealth. Hoinech. Ashrech is your wealth. Usechoyra sech umanhige hasfina machzike habedek. So he goes on to explain. Usechoyra sech. He's translating the word izvonayich to mean your merchandise, and he's translating the word ma'aravech. I'm not sure he's translating that word. That maybe it also just means merchandise. Different types of merchandise. The izvonayich and ma'aravech. The Malbim is good. The warehouses. And the merchandise that's in circulation, or the money that's in circulation on the free market, umanhige hasfin. That's the next word. That's the malochayich v'chovloich umachzike abedek. That's what it says there. Those who inspect the cracks. The soicharena. Here is a good translation from the Mitzvah Stav. What it says now: the orvei ma'aroveich. Maybe we would call this the black market, the underground market, the basement businesses. Okay, you have the official businesses, and then you have the black market, right? Anyone have a basement business here? Anyone running a business in their basement? So that's really what it means over here, the Orvei Ma'aroveich. Okay? The Socharei Sochartech. The merchants of the merchants. The people in the basements, they're getting the merchandise from the other merchants. They're giving it away behind, you know, no one's watching, so we're not going to pay taxes. You know what I'm talking about. Underground, exactly. The underground economy. Excellent, exactly. The anshei hamilchama shebach, And the Ansha Muhammad, the Imkol Keholech and your entire assembly, Vashem Sechech, Miam Aretz, Kulam Yiplu Bulev Yamim Below, Biyom Sheyovai Ma Paltech. Everyone's going to collapse on this day of your destruction. Sheyishba Oisach Ruach Akodim, Ritzel Lemar, Bayoim Sheyich Beshoho Oyev. On the day when the enemy conquers, Yishlol Bosh Shilolah, they will steal, they will take hold of its spoils. Vyoivat Kol Zecher Lomoi Mibli Sheris. There'll be no zecher that Tsar ever existed. Very scary, powerful stuff. Let's see, Rashi. There is no Rashi on this very long pasuk. Isn't that a shock? Rashi and the Radakan pasuk Chavzayin says, "Hoinech is your wealth." Yiplu b'lev yamin b'yom apaltech ki achas shokabash Nevuchadnezzar et Tsar. Here we're getting a little history. Who conquered Tsar Nevuchadnezzar? Remember, there are different stages of its conquest. The Asvu shlolol toichal ir losseis osa belechta min oir. Vehem hayu b'machaneim chutz l'ir ola hayom alo ir v'shotav kol hashalol. It says here that Nebuchadnezzar, this is how the Radak learns, not everyone agrees to this interpretation, but Nebuchadnezzar conquered Tsar, and he collected all the assets, and they were packaging everything ready to go, and before they got a chance to ship out all of the assets, there was a tsunami, which came and wiped the country, the island, clean. A shotav kol, there was a natural disaster. The haharugim, imafar ho'ir, and the dead, the bodies, the people, I guess that's whoever there was, that was, I guess, the people of Tsar who were captives, and Nebuchadnezzar's army, who was there to gather everyone up with all of the assets, they were all killed in this massive flood. Hakol shotaf, v'shov hayom l'mekoymoy, v'nishar hasela, and the dry land remained, the rock land remained like the way it was when the day was created. Shehoyso ha'ir b'nu yolav. And all that was left was the land. It's an amazing thing. After all that effort of conquering the nation, there was nothing to show for it because there was a natural disaster which wiped out everything which came out. It was a double churban. It was a churban from Miyad Adam, and then Hashem went in for the kill. Hashem went in for the cleanup with a natural disaster which followed what Nebuchadnezzar did to this nation of Tsar. Okay, let's see Pasuk Chof Ches. Lekol zakas choivloich, due to the sound, the cry of your captains, choivloich, the sailors, yirashu migroshos, all of the neighboring islands will quake when they hear what happened to you. Everyone is afraid. We're next on the chopping block. They shook in terror. Metzulas pasuk chafches says l'kol l'shmias kol zakas manhige hasfina. I guess they send out an SOS. Okay, mayday, mayday, we are sinking. So all of the first responders, instead of coming to the rescue, they says we're next. We're also going to need someone to come for us. Yirashu migrashay, and the word migrash means like the outskirts, and it means cities. It means like a little villages on the outskirts of the main city. So in this context, it means the neighboring islands. Migrashay ha'arim hasmuchos talmokim hasfina hanishbara, the cities that were near in the vicinity of this boat. The metaphor of this boat that is sinking, they also were terrified they're going to be next. Rashi chavches migro shos kumo migrashay ha'arim, it means like the outskirts of the city, villages or different houses that live along the boundary. Radak pasuk chavches says l'kol zakas migroshos b'cholam. He has a grammar v'chu kmo migroshim. The inyan derech haflag, this is an exaggeration. Ratzolama ki migroshay tsar shoy bayabasha yirashu. All of the settlements of Tsar, which were along the coast of Eretz Yisrael, all the way up north. Yirashu, they quaked. L'kol zakas choyv layich sheyizaku b'bolochem hashever. When they heard the captains of the ship, the sailors of the ship, in panic, they heard on the radios what's going on. The people who live in the coastland, they also shook in terror. Okay, is there a medrash over here? No, we do that medrash. Let's go back past the chavtes. Now, what was going to happen? Yardu may onio sehem. All of the other ships traveling in the sea, they're going to descend from their boats, called Toifsei Mosot. All those who hold on to a oar, Malachim. Malachim means the sailors. Kol Choivle Hayam, all of the people who pull ropes on the sea, which means the another word for the sailors. The Malachim means the oarsmen. The Malachim man the oars. And the Chayv Lehayam, they man the sails. El Haaretz, Yamodu, they're going to stand on the other words, they're going to quit. When there's nowhere to go anymore, there's no island. The island, there's no way to bring our merchandise. So there's no purpose in us of traveling anymore. Pasuk Chavetz in the Mitzvah Stavid, Kol Tov Sam Masot, Kol Harigil Lechaz Bahamisotos. All those that are accustomed to holding on to the oars, the Hamalochim, and the people that's the Hamalochim, okay, the Hachayvlim. Malachim is seemingly is another word for the Tov Seh Masot. Obviously, it's something different. The fact that he breaks it up, the Pasuk breaks up two different words, it must be there's something different. There's a Tov Seh Masot, those who hold the oars, and the Malachim are another function on the ship. Ha'chavlim yerdu min anios, yamdu al aretz ki yifchadu oil lechas besvina shalo yikre lochem ki mikra hasvina ha'hiv u'inyin melitza. They are afraid all of the ships are going to be docked until an investigation is conducted to determine the cause of why this ship, they have it all the time. Rachman said there's ever an incident on a plane, so they put a freeze and all of, like, remember the Dreamliners when they first rolled out the Dreamliners, and then there was a problem with one of the batteries. There was a fire, so that's it. All the Dreamliners have to be
grounded.
Grounded until we figure out exactly what the problem is and we correct it. And that could take months. There are always recalls on cars, right? Yeah, every other day there's a recall. Hyundai just recalled, 600,000 cars for faulty cords? Some no one's going to bring them in. they recall the cars, but no one anyway brings them in. But so this is exactly what's over here, is that exactly it's going to be a recall and there's going to be an investigation. Therefore, in the meantime, everyone is going to stop. They're going to get off the ship until they determine the cause for this terrible disaster and to do things to make sure that it doesn't happen to them. Let's see. Rashi has different twists on the interpretation. He says the people are going to stop because they need an investigation. Investigation as to what happened so it should not happen to us. There's nothing to do anymore. There's nowhere to go. Why do we need, the only reason why we have ships is because we want to transport our merchandise to Tsar to make money. There's no money to be made. So we'll throw in the towel. Let's see. Radak, Paschaftes, Yodim, Nusem, El Horitz, Yamodu, Kumo Al, Vachin, El Horim, Loy Ochal, Kumo Al. Okay, next, Paschaftes, Lamed, Vihishmi, Olaich, Bekoilam. They're going to listen. The Shmi Olach B'Kolam, they're going to cause you to listen B'Kolam when they cry out. The Yizaku Mara, they're going to scream in pain and bitterness. The Alu Ofar Al Roshem, they're going to put ash on their heads. Bo'efer Yispaloshum, they're going to lie down on the ground and roll in dust. It's Ofar and Efer. Ofar is ash with an ayin. Afer is all the way around. So over here it's reversed. Something over here is very strange. It's strange. Should we go the other way around? So why? There must be some message why it's the other way around. Vanochi Ofar v'Afer. And here we have Ofar al Roshem, which typically means you put ash, not dust. And when you roll on the ground, you roll in the Avok, not in the Afer. So why are the words reversed? Let's see the Mefarshim. I didn't notice this before. First of all, La'alam and Mitzvah David. They're going to raise up their voice and make it be heard in the world. A lament, the zaku, zakas mar, a bitter cry. The yalu offer, kein hayim in hagim lasos derech tzar va'evil. That's what they would do. Yispalosh, they would roll yiskaglu ba'efer, v'gamuchu b'derech tzar va'evil. The mitzudos does not really tell us why it's reversed. Let's see what's in Rashi. Rashi, there is Yispa loshu yiskalgul, they're gonna roll radak pasik lamed vishmu yispalosh kmo haspalshi boifer in his skalgul biskazas boifer. I don't know the same thing over here, but I do remember we learned Yeshaya. This goes way, way back. In Yeshaya, this is very common. This technique of taking expressions and taking words and mixing them between two different expressions was common in Sefer Yeshaya. And there, the Mefarshim said the reason why he was deliberately reversed words where they don't belong in an expression is in order to express the totality of what is taking place. So really there is Ofar al Roshayim. It should be Efer al Roshayim. And there should be Ofar Yispaloshu. But if it would be written the way it's written, the way it should be written, you might understand that to mean You put a little ash on your head, just a small amount, and you roll on the ground for 10 seconds. When you reverse the words, it has a connotation of mixing. And when you mix something, it's done very thoroughly. Right? When you mix water and flour, you want a good dough, you mix it thoroughly. So the reversal or the mixing of the terms indicates that the mourning is going to be a thorough, a total, complete mourning amongst the people. This is a style that is common in Yeshaya. It appears here, as we have it here in Yeshaya. That's a drasha. Sometimes you spell. But when you have them both together, it's just more bizarre. It's one thing if you have one pasuk v'chisoba ofar. So it says there. It says, but what is it with aleph? It spells
ayin.
Ayin. V'chisohu. I'm not sure. So that's correct. You covered in earth. Ofar. It's a drasha. Afer is also kosher, but afer is not ofar. So over here, the words don't make sense. Over here, it should say v'yalu efer. It's a different nikud as well. V'yalu efer al roshayem and ba'ofer yispaloshu. The words. What? Totally different things. We have the Chazal. What Avram's the anochi ofar v'efer? I was right to be ofar from the four kings. They wanted to kill me. And Afer, Ash, from Nimrod. He threw me in the furnace of fire. So it's totally two different things. And especially when they're both together, then you got to be correct. The answer is, I'm suggesting the answer, based upon what we learned in Yeshaya, is that this is common there, is you mix up the words and expressions. You take the wrong word from each expression, and it connotes a sense of thoroughness. A thoroughness, not just a token fulfillment of these requirements. Let's to roll. You're going to roll in the dust. To roll in the dust is an expression of mourning. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, v'ikrichu eilayich karcha. All of your friends, your comrades, and your other nations, they're going to pull out their hair. They're going to make bald spots. V'chagru sakim, they're going to gird themselves in sackcloth. Uvachu alach, they're going to cry. Bimar nefesh, with bitterness, misbeid mor. A bitter eulogy over the loss of their partner in their commercial partner. Laman Alpha in the midst of this David, Fekrichu, Yimritu Alach Sarois, Roshem the Plother here, Vyashoim Hamakam Knef, they're gonna become big bull spots. Simple. And there is no Rashi, Radak is just one Radak, Fekrichu Alach Karchab. What? There's a Bachu Alach, Yivku Alach Bimar Nefesh, Be'es Yasu Mispaid Mar. They'll cry when they eulogize. Radak v'krichu olach karcha be'alef mokem hey. Okay, that's just the grammar point with how you spell the word. Pasik lamed beis v'nasu elayich bi. Now here's a hard word. V'nasu elayich b'nihem. Nihem loshon of na. It means in their moaning, kina, a lament. V'kainenu elayich me, and they're going to lament. Now here's a quotation. Or this will be the refrain of the kina. Mi chetzar, who is like tzar? In other words, like, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Ani or na aniva? Where am I going to go now? Kiduma b'so chayam. Kiduma means it's sunk, right? Kiduma means what is it in the mitzudos tziyin? Kiduma it's been cut off. The word kiduma means it's been cut down. Besochayom. Let's see them. This is David. Pasuk Lamed Beis. V'nasu alayach yarimu alayach kina b'kol lihi yuhanok etzlam v'yikainu alayach v'chen yarimu. This is what they're going to say. This is a quotation. Mi chitzar. What am I going to do now? Where am I going to find a replacement? Ritzon alaymar. Mi hi hoyer liyos chashuva kitzar. Who is chashuva to be kitzar? Mi kamoa. Who is like it? Shri Duma. It's been v'nichreches. It's been cut down. Compared to it, Mapalta, there was no one like it in the good old days when it was,
and its destruction.
There was no one that was destroyed. No one that suffered such a stunning defeat like so. It's a very interesting idea. The word "me," according to the Mitsudos, goes on both. It's Michitzor in the good old days, when it was wealthy, when it was the center of commerce for the world. And who is like Tsar? Kedumah. In its destruction. Never in the world witnessed such utter destruction. And they say that the World Trade Center. Right? The World Trade Center. You know, who was like, what was that the World Trade Center? It was the financial center of the world. And Khorban is just stunning. Stunning. How you talking? Can it be such a thing? Two buildings collapsed? It just, that's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. Okay, let's see over here. Pasuk Lamed Beis in the Mitzudos David. We did it already. Rashi, is there Rashi Lamed Beis? V'nosu alach b'nihem. Banihi shelohem. In their expression of moaning. Keduma koch hoya shem roshei edoim. These are the whole new translation. Ke'inyin shenemar maso duma. So this means they're going to say, Kiduma, you like Kiduma. I don't know what this means. Anyone have any? Yeah. Who is like Tsar and Kiduma?
That we read the Targum.
The Targum lays the Domi La, Kiduma. That's a new interpretation. Doimia means similar. Okay, let's first do the first interpretation of Rashi. Rashi is saying the word Kiduma means a name of a nation, a name of the Roshei Edoim. Shame Roshei Edoim. Kinyan Shenemar Maso Duma. A Maso concerning the nation of Duma. So here it says, Michit Tsar, who is like Tsar, and Kiduma, who is like Kiduma, that was once Beso Chayam. So it seems that the word me, if I'm not mistaken, the word me is to be repeated. It's a very typical way to translate Pesukim in Ach. You take one word, and you have to translate it, you have to add it twice. Mi chitzar, who is like tzar? Mi kiduma, who is like the nation of Kiduma? Kiduma was a Roman.
Duma.
What?
Not Kiduma. Duma.
Shame, Roshay, right. Kid, like, so me Kiduma, the Duma. The name of the nation is Duma. The name of the nation is Masa Duma. So just like it's Kitsar, it's Kiduma. Right? The Chaf is a prefix. Who is like me Kitsar? Me Kiduma. So what is Duma doing here in this parak? What is Duma doing here? Duma was a nation in Rome, which obviously was destroyed. It was obliterated off the face of the earth. Okay. V'yardu mi chatzah mi keduma b'soch hayam mi uma ba'olam shayisam yusheves ka'isah sheshma duma shem yusheves b'soch hayam v'hitzor itzor as sor shebamaschil uma shel edoim, that's where edoim started, v'hi rosh malchus edoim kinyin shelemar master duma elai korei meseir v'tigim les. That's another interpretation. Okay, so he's saying is that they had another name, an alternative name, that sor was also went by the name duma. Different bank accounts. Okay, two different names for the nation. Okay, that's the Marikara. Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Maybe it just means is that it was typical when a person would lament. When a person is in the tzid of tzar, this is very common. When a person has a tzara, you recall all of your other tzaras. Right? Isn't that when a person that's when a person, you know, you're able to overcome the difficulties of life, and then when you're on a down, when something doesn't go right, oh, this problem and that problem and that problem and that problem. When you raise up a kina, when you express your frustration, it's typical to express all of your frustrations. So here it would appear the people over here during this period of time there was also a korban which came upon the nation of, on the city, the island or the city called Duma. So when people they would lament over the fall of Tsar, they also lamented over the fall of Duma. That's what would appear. Or like the Marikar says that Duma was another name for Tsar. Or the third interpretation of the second interpretation actually is who was like Mi Chitzar Kiduma. Kiduma means who was like Tsar. Doime is similar. And again, don't forget the interpretation of the Mitzudus, which means it's been cut down. It has been cut down Beso Chayom. Let's see quickly the Radak. We'll finish up the Radak Pasuk Lamed Beis in the Radak. V'nosu alaych bin nihem inyin nihi avalu shorish acher al das hamadachtikim. It means to cry. The Aldati Shayud Ayin Apoil Mumeris Behe, I don't know what this means. V'chvar Hirachti B'zeh Sefer Michlol L'Bechalek HaShroshim. He doesn't explain, but basically it means B'nihem, in their state of crying, they're going to lament. Mi Chitzar Kiduma B'so Chayam Yoimu, they will say B'kina Sami Chayso Kitzar B'lamala Umi Chomahu Shehi Duma has been cut down. He's learning the parish of the word Duma like the Mitzudos. It lies down, it is cut off my soul. The Yonas and Tergema, who's in before, means to be compared to man kitzor, less the dumme la, there's one that's similar to it, among the islands of the sea. Okay, so we'll stop with the Apostle Gimel. Pick up next week, Hashem.